my friends if they gave me non-shitty advice. Thanks for the heads up, Miller.
And now you're going to fire me.
Shaking my head, I climbed out of the Kia. I turned to face him, supporting myself by holding onto the edge of the door and the roof of the car. Nope. I'm trying to keep from hugging you for giving a fuck. All these feelings today, they were going to be the undoing of me. Chapter 14.
Sky from Las Vegas asks, Willow, how did you feel when you learned you were cast in the reboot of the movie?
The moderator said. Like if I didn't take the role, I'd never work again, I thought. I cast a glittering smile in his direction and lifted my microphone to my mouth. Excited and, don't laugh at me, guys, terrified. I'm not sure if you've ever carried a surfboard, but... I sighed and rubbed my forehead for dramatic effect. It really, really hurts when it knocks you in the head. The crowd of fans lined up in front of the outdoor stage rolled with laughter and hundreds of smartphones flashed simultaneously. But really, I can't wait because this cast is amazing and the script is so incredible. I can't wait to work on such a kick-ass movie, I said. How many more adjectives could I use this morning without sounding like an idiot? We were 20 minutes into the beachfront press conference, and for the last 10 of them, Justin Davies, my leading man, had kept trying to touch my thigh beneath the table. Once again, I leaned close to him, keeping my smile plastered on my face, and muttered, "It would be a shame if I break your fucking nose with a surfboard when we start shooting tomorrow." He skimmed the back of his hand across my cheek, and the flashing cameras went berserk. Asshole.
Uh-oh. Is there more than an on-screen romance blooming between Justin and Willow?
The moderator asked the fans, and they cheered wildly. I twisted Justin's fingers tightly in mine, and he winked a hazel eye at me. Once the crowd quieted down, the moderator said,
Mitchell from Greenville, Texas asks, How are you training for your role? We'll start with Justin.
I nearly rolled my eyes when Justin tilted his dreadlocked head to the side. He'd told me shortly after we met that there were fan pages dedicated to his hair, stared confidently into the crowd and said,
If you've seen the original, you know, of course, that Chad is a photographer. James Dixon and I thought it would be interesting if we added a little twist to the storyline and put me out there with Willow.
I kept the surprise out of my face when I turned to look at him. Had he trained with Cooper, too? As if to answer my question, Justin winked and said,
I'd done a little surfing when I was a teenager, so it was easy to jump back in. By the way, let's give it up for Willow Avery. She's gorgeous today, isn't she?
Never in my life had I wanted to drown someone as much as I did right now. The moderator turned his attention on me.
What about you, Willow?
I raked my hand through my brown hair, which the stylist who'd shown up at my rental house at the ass crack of dawn had artfully tousled for at least an hour. I didn't have it quite as easy as Justin. I've spent the last couple weeks training with a really incredible surf coach here in Hawaii, Cooper Taylor. I've gotten to the point where I can actually take on a wave or two. Of course, I fall flat on my butt 2 seconds later, but it's a work in progress. That comment evoked more chuckles and flashes from the throng of people, so I gave them the pretty smile they expected.
Speaking of Cooper Taylor,
the moderator started, and I felt my breath catch.
How does it feel to be working with Hillary Norton's kid?
I blinked, and for a moment I was left utterly speechless. How does it feel to be working with Hillary Norton's kid? And he was talking about my Cooper? A shiver raced up my spine the moment I thought of him as that. When I answered, I never faltered. He's got this insane work ethic. We train for 3 or 4 hours a day. And not once did he tell me I was playing his deceased mother's role. We still have a ways to go, but I'm confident that all the stunt work you see me actually doing is going to look fantastic. The moderator turned his questions on Justin then, and after that on one of the supporting actors. But the sharp tingles creeping down my face and throughout the rest of my body made it nearly impossible to hear anything that wasn't aimed directly at me. Cooper was Hillary Norton's son. The sad part was that as I sat there, becoming angrier, I wasn't sure if I was even supposed to be pissed. It wasn't like it had ever come up in conversation, but God, it was hard not to feel duped. Because Hillary Norton, Cooper's mom, had OD'd on the same crap that sent me to rehab. By the time I reached Cooper's house for my lesson, which Miller insisted he had to stay for now that the press had me on their radar, my anger had reached the boiling point. As Cooper and I strode out to the beach, with Miller trailing behind us a few feet, I put as much distance as I could between our bodies. He gave me a sympathetic smile.
"I'm guessing your press conference went badly?"
he said. Narrowing my eyes, I snorted and picked up my pace. Where should I start? First, there's my horny co-star who introduced himself by asking if I'd fuck him in his trailer to test out the new couch. Cooper caught up to me, his face dark. He placed his board down by the shoreline in slow, controlled motions.
"He touched you?"
"Don't worry. I threatened to hit him with a surfboard on set," I said. Cooper smiled, murmuring something under his breath. Crossing my arms over my chest, I stared down at him and asked, "Why didn't you tell me who your mom was, Cooper?" His toned body went taut, and he glanced down at an emblem on the head of his board before meeting my gaze.
"Because it's not a big secret," he said, shrugging indifferently.
I sank down on my knees beside him in the sand, not caring that Miller was lounging close by or that there were other people around us on the beach. I squinted at him and realized it wasn't because the sunlight was beating down on my face. It was to hold the stupid tears back. I pretended to clean something off my board with the end of my beach towel. "I didn't know," I finally said in a low whisper. He scoffed.
"Then how's this? Hillary Norton was my mum, but I don't broadcast it, because I don't like talking about her, because they tore her apart until she tore herself down."
"I don't know who they are." A sound of frustration bubbled up in the back of his throat, and he leaned close to me.
"Don't be ridiculous, Willow. You, of all people, know exactly who they are."
"And Dixon knew who you were?" I demanded. He scoffed, nodding. "God, I feel like an idiot," I said.
"Why?"
I stopped fidgeting with my board and looked him directly in the eye. "Because I've been studying your mom's movies and working with you, and..." He touched his fingertips together in front of his mouth and shook his head.
"It doesn't change anything."
So why did it feel like it did? When I started to push my board out into the water, he caught up behind me, tugging on the strap of my swimsuit. I whirled on him.
"Who my mom was doesn't change anything," he repeated.
"Why do you agree to train me?" I demanded. "You hate Hollywood, and I'm working in your mom's most popular movie. That's got to hurt, Cooper. I mean, fuck! I hurt for you!" He started to speak and then hesitated. When I tightened my hold on the edge of my board and nodded for him to continue, he demanded,
"You want to know why I agreed to train you?"
"Please."
"Because Dixon said nobody else wanted to work with you."
I felt as if someone had struck a hand across my face. When I flinched, he muttered a string of curse words.
"Look, Wills, that didn't come out like I wanted it."
"No. I appreciate your honesty," I said, shoving my board farther out into the white water.
"Where are you going?"
he called after me. "We've got a lesson, don't we?" Chapter 15. The tension between Cooper and me during my lesson was almost unbearable, and when Miller waved at me from the beach a couple hours into training, I was relieved. "I've got to go," I said to Cooper. lying down on my board and maneuvering it around to face the shoreline. It's almost 5, and I've got this meet-and-greet with the crew and cast tonight at 7. He came up beside me so that our elbows knocked against each other. I gripped the sides of my board tighter and glanced down at the Channel Islands logo.
"I know,"
he said softly, his voice hoarse.
"Dixon's asked me to come."
My gaze popped up. "Really?" Cooper's brows pulled in and he pinched his lips together. Then he gave me a sarcastic smile.
"Guess my mum made me important enough to invite," he said.
I flinched and took a deep breath to keep my voice from cracking. "I didn't mean it like that. And I'm so sorry about what happened to your mom. I just..." When the words wouldn't come, I paddled my arms to nudge my board forward. He came up right beside me, unwilling to let me go.
"You just what?"
he demanded, his nostrils flaring. "I wish I'd known who you were before we started this." I arched my body slightly, staring through blurry eyes at the shore. "I wish I'd asked or something. I'm so sorry," I whispered. I needed to get away from him. I needed to get away before I shoved my foot further down my throat. He released an agitated sigh.
"It wouldn't have changed what happened to her."
"No, it wouldn't have."
"You want to know what the sad part is?"
he continued as he moved his board past mine. He looked over his shoulder and waited for my response. "What?"
"I still want to take you into my place and bury myself inside of you until I..."
I sat up on my board, straddling the middle of it. "Until you what?" I questioned. He pushed himself up into a sitting position and yanked the front of my surfboard next to his. I gripped the edges firmly between my thighs to steady myself.
"Until I forget myself,"
he murmured.
"Or fuck. Get this taste for you out of my mouth."
We were still several feet from reaching the shore, so nobody would be able to see the way his fingertips skimmed my breast through my tankini, or how my nipple instantly responded to his touch, hardening. I flushed, held my breath for a drawn-out moment, and then relaxed. "Is that something you really want to do?" I whispered. His gaze washed over every visible inch of me, starting at the top of my head, and I tugged my bathing suit top down to cover the patch of stomach that was exposed.
"The question is that what you really want?"
he asked. "I just want to know if it's bothering you to be around me now that I know about your mom," I said all in one breath. When his eyebrows furrowed together, I squeezed my eyes shut. "Don't make me say it out loud."
"If you want me to answer the damn question, you will."
My eyes flew open and narrowed into a glare. "I've got a history, Cooper, and it's scary when my..." I struggled to find the right word to describe what he was to me at this point and finally heaved a sigh. "I'm scared that you're drawn to me because you feel bad for me." His expression changed to something unreadable, and he pointed down at my board.
"Let's go back in before another wave hits."
Clenching my teeth, I stretched out on my board and began paddling back to the shore, my arms and legs tingling the entire time. The moment both our feet hit dry land, though, Cooper gave me a dark look.
"Get rid of your bodyguard for a little while. We need to talk."
When I didn't budge, he pulled in a deep breath through his nose, crossing his suntanned arms over his chest.
"I'll call you out at Dixon's party, Wills, if you don't hear me out."
I was seething when I stalked over to Miller, who was patiently waiting for me on a beach towel, but I coaxed a smile onto my face. "I'm going inside with Cooper to talk for a few minutes." He lifted an eyebrow, and I forced a laugh. "About surfing and movie stuff. Can you... I don't know, hang out in the shop with Eric and Paige?" Even though he never dropped the concerned expression, Miller muttered,
"Sure, Willow."
When we stepped into Cooper's house, Miller disappeared into the shop where Eric and Paige were signing up 2 new students, twins from the look of it, Cooper wrapped his fingers around mine and led me upstairs to his bedroom. As he slammed the door shut behind us, part of me expected him to put my back up against the wall like he did the other night, but when I saw the look in his eyes, I knew that wasn't going to happen. Disappointment. Complete and utter disappointment that made me crumple against the wall all on my own.
"Let's make this clear," he said.
He took a deep breath, squeezed the bridge of his nose, and turned around for a moment, facing the king-size bed. When he faced me again, his shoulders were squared.
"Am I hell-bent on protecting you?"
"Yeah."
"I'd rip someone apart to keep you safe. Are you a pity fuck for me?"
"Absolutely not.
I've wanted you more than anything."
"I'm fucked up, Cooper," I said. And when my voice hitched, he closed the space between us, lifting my eyes until our gazes were equal.
"We'll fix you."
He took both my hands into his and drew me across the room. Sitting on the edge of his bed, he pulled me onto him so that I straddled him. We were both still wet from being in the sea, and his bedspreads dampened beneath our bodies. "And I'm insecure," I whispered. He touched the side of my face with the tip of his index finger, tracing up the curve of my cheek. He massaged the area behind my ear, skimming his fingertips along the tattoo, making the skin there, and the scar on my abdomen, burn with the memory.
"We'll fix that, too."
"I'm selfish, too," I said at last.
"God wills. So am I."
The party went down without a hitch. Every time my eyes connected with Cooper's, and it happened more than it should, he gave me that deep dimpled smile that made my knees feel weak and my heart twist painfully in my chest. Later that night, after I'd returned to my rental house and lay alone in the dark, staring at the moonlight through partially opened blinds and listening to Ellie Goulding on my laptop, I decided that I wouldn't think about what might happen after the summer went away, when I was done with this movie. I only wanted the here and now with Cooper. I left for work the next morning, repeating that thought in my head as Miller drove me to my filming location. Once we arrived, I felt myself being slowly immersed into my old life, the life of someone I couldn't be anymore. I tried my best to shake away the panic slowly shooting through my veins. "I can do this," I whispered over and over again as a makeup artist fussed over me. "Can you hold your lips still, honey?" the artist asked, blowing a stray lock of her asymmetrical blonde bob out of her eye. It was a reminder that I would hear things like that often over the next month or two, and I froze every muscle in my body. I spent the next hour in hair and makeup, getting MAC caked onto my face so I would look natural on camera, and then another hour arguing with the costume designer about the string bikini I refused to wear. The moment I stepped out of my trailer dressed in the costume we'd finally decided on, a tiny pair of hibiscus print board shorts and a tight, high-necked quicksilver rash guard, I felt a weight drive itself down on my chest. Justin, my leading man, only made that feeling worse when I ran into him at a refreshment table. He tossed an apple into the air before taking a bite out of it, and I rolled my eyes.
"We're on Yahoo's entertainment page today," he said.
"Let me guess. Wilton?" I asked, grabbing a bottle of water and a donut. He laughed.
"Close. Jill-O."
I made a disgusted face. "It sounds like a cross between Jell-O and bodily fluid," I said, and before he could get a word in, I added sweetly, "with you being the bodily fluid." He scratched the tip of his lightly freckled nose and cocked his head to one side, squinting at me.
"Damn, so I don't have a chance."
"Not at all." He sighed, then shrugged.
"Can't blame me for trying. There's always the girl who plays..."
But I'd already tuned him out, focusing my attention instead on Dixon, who was coming toward the refreshment table. He clapped his hands together, grinning.
"Ready to remake magic?"
I'd almost forgotten that he'd worked as the production manager on the first film. I bobbed my head, shoving away the fear of failure that churned in the pit of my belly. My hair, which had been styled to look careless, ruffled in the stifling late morning breeze. "I'm ready if Justin is."
"Let's make a movie, then," Dixon said cheerfully.
He apparently hadn't noticed the way my voice had faltered, and if he did, he didn't say anything about it. I spent the morning working on a love scene with Justin on the beach. I was numb to the kisses and touching, the way his long hair scratched my face, and found that I was more focused on trying not to develop a lazy eye from all the cameras, of the studio variety, flashing in my face for the sake of promotional stills. Justin, on the other hand, loved it, especially when I had to lie flat on my back on top of a surfboard to finish up a makeout scene. As he pinned my arms over my head, I waited for him to make some wise-ass remark, but he only spoke his lines.
"I can't live without you, Alyssa," he whispered, his hazel eyes reflecting the emotion of the scene. Then he swooped in to kiss me as an actor, and I did my best to respond to him, to act oblivious to the giant-ass cameras recording us at just about every angle. A moment later, the scene was called and Justin climbed off of me. He winked before disappearing in search of one of the extras he'd been talking to earlier. When the crew took a break for lunch, Miller escorted me back to my trailer. He peeked in first and then nodded, giving me the go-ahead to step inside.
"I missed an important call," he explained to me, holding up his phone. "You need me? I'll be right out here."
"I'll let you know," I said, closing the door. I was in the middle of letting out an exhausted yawn when a voice with a distinctive Australian accent spoke up.
"He didn't check very well."
I gasped as Cooper's hands slipped over my eyes. My body automatically moved against his, and I shivered when his warm breath fanned my ear.
"First illegal bonfires, and now breaking into my girl's trailer. I'm all sorts of bad,"
he teased. His girl. I was his girl. I licked my mouth, attempting to get rid of the sudden dryness at hearing him say that. "You said you had a lesson," I whispered hoarsely, slowly turning around to face him. "At least, that's what I think you told me this morning." God, he looked so good with his hair all messy and his face still a little red from surfing, and I just wanted to...
"I'm here because of this morning," he said,
his expression tense. He'd showed up at my door at 4 a.m., grabbing me to him without saying a single word, and had picked me up, taking me to the back of my tiny rental. He'd used his mouth on me for 10 agonizing minutes, pulling away each time I came close to release. "Please," I'd finally panted, struggling up on my elbows to meet his hot gaze. He'd nipped the inside of my thigh, shaking his head, and I'd groaned. "Please?" I'd said once more, just for him to shake his head again. Then I raveled his blonde hair with my hands, jerking up on it. "Cooper." A moment later, he'd climbed up, drawing my tongue into his mouth and using his fingers to finish getting me off. When I'd tried to pull down the swim trunks he'd been wearing, he stopped me, catching my hands around his waistband.
"I want an IOU,"
he'd said right before he kissed me one last time, dizzying me up so that I couldn't return to sleep. Reluctantly, I shook my head to bring my thoughts back to the present, to where he had me lodged between the mini-fridge and the kitchenette table. "You broke into my trailer for an IOU?" I squeaked, and he guided my hand between us, wrapping my fingers around him through his cargo shorts. I squeezed hard, causing him to shudder. He groaned against the column of my throat.
"I broke into your trailer because I wanted to be with you."
I took a couple steps back until the backs of my thighs rested against the top of the table and gazed up into his blue eyes. "We've got a surf lesson tonight," I whispered. He cracked a smile and snarled his fingertips underneath my quicksilver shirt, pulling it up.
My head swam, but I was conscious enough to grab both of his hands, stilling them by my side. I can't, I said. I wasn't ready to let him see me completely naked in the light just yet, if I ever would.
Wills.
The door to my trailer shook and he drew away from me, groaning dramatically. I straightened my clothes and slid past him, my ass brushing up against his crotch, to open it just enough to see who was there. One of the assistants stood on the bottom step, grinning up at me.
"We're ready for you again, Miss Avery," he said.
The fact that Miller was a foot away looking like a beast with his arms folded over his muscular chest didn't seem to affect this guy in the least. "Give me a few," I said, closing the door as he opened his mouth to say something else. I turned back to Cooper, who was suppressing a grin. "What?" I asked through clenched teeth.
"Miss Avery,
I've got to get to work." He stared at me for a long time before dipping his gaze to the carpeted floor for a moment.
"Seeing you like this just..."
I covered his lips before he could say something that would get me any more worked up than I already was. He dragged his teeth gently across my bottom lip before forcing himself to break away from me. Breathing heavily, he shook his head.
"You beautiful girl. You fuck with my head like no other."
I didn't tell him that I was glad, that I wanted to be the only girl on his mind. Chapter 16. The next 2 weeks passed by in a blur of work, surfing, more work, and Cooper. Deliciously copious amounts of Cooper. I didn't even realize it was my birthday until my mother called me first thing in the morning on the 15th to sing her rendition of Happy Birthday in a horribly off-key voice. When she was finished performing, she said, "I know you asked me not to come there, but your dad and I are so proud of you." Mom and I had been talking every few nights, and when she'd called me on the 4th of July, she had brought up coming to Honolulu to spend my birthday with me. I'd told her I already had plans, even though I only had my probation meeting. "Thanks, but Mom, it's 6 a.m. here, and I'm not filming today." I didn't add that I'd been out late with Paige the night before at a hibachi grill that she'd sworn was the best on the island. My mother would ask me a million questions about who Paige was, and then warn me about the dangers of being around an open flame. I stifled a sleepy laugh as I imagined Mom saying, "You'll burn your damn face off, and then where would you be?" Mom didn't take my hint about the time because she continued to talk. "I wanted to call with a birthday present," she said. I pulled a pillow over my face and groaned. "Please don't sing again," I begged. "Clay called early this morning," she said. My breath caught as soon as I heard my lawyer's name, and I threw the pillow away from my face. It hit the wall and then fell somewhere beside the bed. "And?" I asked. "And he's got a court date for your case against that agency scheduled for the middle of next month." I could tell by the shrillness in her voice that she didn't exactly believe this was good news. In fact, it probably scared the hell out of her, but she must have known how much it would mean to me, especially on my 20th birthday. My heart hammered in my chest, and I pressed the palm of one hand flat against it, reminding myself that I needed to calm down and take a deep breath. "Does he think I have a chance?" I asked, my voice sounding fuzzy in my ears. "Absolutely." One word. That one word somehow managed to send a flood of emotions rushing through me. Fear and pain and hope all sliced through me at once, and as I sat there shaking, tears trickled down my face. "That's a start, huh?" I asked, keeping my voice calm, level. "I knew you'd be happy to hear that," Mom said. I heard an inaudible voice murmur something to her, and she laughed. Then to me she said, "One sec, your dad wants to speak to you." I hadn't heard my dad's voice in months, since the court date where I was sentenced to Serenity Hills, to be precise, So when he came on the line, I had to press the back of my hand against my mouth to hold the sob in.
"Happy birthday, baby," he said.
I couldn't decide if I was more